others dying without our deliver. We'll rise and pray. We'll rise and pray. Till the whole world hears. Till the whole world knows. Lord, send us out where you would have us go. Till the lost world hears. Till the last one knows. The grace of God, the love that you have shown. Till the whole world hears.
Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. And very briefly, next week, we would like to open the coffee shop again. We need volunteers. How happy are you? We need two people to help Michelle, at least for the first Sunday. So, and then we're going to have to work something long term, maybe a team that we can rotate. But the idea is to be able to open it up. I think we can have all the tables used outside, both in the balcony and out there. And I think, if I'm not sure, somebody mentioned today, we might be able to use some of the ones inside. Okay, so I think there's, but at least we can have a good, we haven't even used our new coffee machine yet, you know, so, and I'm looking forward to some great coffee. So anyway, if you would like to volunteer, I'm sure the Lord is speaking to at least 10 of you. So if you want to rebel against God, that's fine. But if you love God, no guilt, then please let me know and I will get you in touch with Michelle. And so we'll be here, and I think it goes till about 2 o'clock. No, not even, because lately people don't stay that long, but till about 2 o'clock. And we can help serve coffees and clean up and things like that. So, Revelation, Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water. So he took people down to the water and he dunked them and he brought them out. And that's all good. But it says, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. All the difference in the world. You can go into the water till you soak and get all wrinkly and yet have nothing change in your life unless you are partaker, filled with, baptized in relationship with the very Holy Spirit of God. In Romans, it says that he who does not have the Spirit does not belong to God. I mean, that's quite intense. And here, a couple days later, we see in chapter 2 that the day of Pentecost came, which is today. We're celebrating the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came and filled them with the Spirit, and everything changed in those people's lives. But it's interesting. There's a great fire started 2,000 years ago, which actually has been going on ever since. Very much like the fire in Leviticus. The very fire that God started in Leviticus chapter 9 when he came to dwell in the tabernacle. It says a fire was lit from God himself. And then God told them, now every morning you must put wood in that fire, and that fire must never go out. So God was going to begin a fire, and Moses was going to cultivate that fire, never offer strange fire. I love that illustration because to me it's all the difference in the world. Walking in the Spirit or trying to make the flesh look like the Spirit. And we are to walk in the very Spirit of God. And never shortchange ourselves to walk in anything or anyone but the Spirit of God. So in Ephesians, knowing that God started this great work, Paul tells the Ephesians, do not quench the Holy Spirit of God through whom you were sealed. Do not quench. Do not stop the work. Do not put a block there, but give liberty to what he wants to do. The question is, what does the Spirit of God do in our life? How can we test what is happening in our life and whether it is the Spirit of God or whether it's our own efforts, our own energy, how do we know? After all, I mean, most of us know the difference between our old life, and I remember being a Mormon, and my girlfriend dumped me, and I wept like a little child, and the only thing I knew was to go to the Mormon church, and I sat there, all alone. Not one person greeted me, and I just cried, and I cried, but there was a sense that, you know what? I wasn't connected to God. It was a sense that I didn't belong to, I just existed. It was a couple years later when the Lord began to deal with me and I began to sense the work of God in my life. How do we know the difference? How do we know that the Spirit of God is working in us powerfully? What are some of the tests? Well, number one is in Philippians chapter 2, where it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. So what's the number one test? What is something that we need to be looking in our life to know that the Spirit of God is working in us? Well, one of them is God works in every Christian by and through his Holy Spirit. He prompts us, he urges us, he leads us. When we become a Christian, we realize that we are not the ones doing the pushing. He is the one doing the leading. It's a big change. And you can do it like this. All religion is me push or someone push. Christianity is God leads. God prompts. This is one of my biggest fear in church. I told the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be a cheerleader. I don't want to make bad people better. Because you're all bad. Just kidding. I don't want to make bad people better. I want to see you make people new, transformed. in their mind, in their hearts, in their wills, a 180 turn in their life. And the difference is that the Spirit prompts us, urges us, leads us. And when we're talking about baptism, that's the whole point. The whole point is you get buried. It's a funeral. All things have passed. Behold, everything's new. And just like the Israelites were in Egypt, and Moses comes and leads them out of Egypt, we are in this world system, and Jesus comes and he leads us out of it. And it's no longer what I want to do, but it is where he is leading, where he leads us. Number two, another test is that the Spirit always leads us to a life of vigor and liveliness. The truly spiritual man, the Christian filled with the Spirit, is never a man who has to drag himself and force himself to do things. Oh, I got to read my Bible. Oh, it's Sunday again. Oh, someone's asking me to serve with something. Coffee shop, for example. Now you look at the Bible and you see in Colossians 1:29, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Listen to what he says. To this end, I also labor. I work so hard. But notice what he says. According to the working which works in me mightily. I work so hard. I have so much energy for the things of God. But he says this, according to the working, according to the very energy that God gives me. So the Spirit of God leads us to a life of invigoration. Now, it doesn't mean that if you feel my goodness, I got to read or I got to go to church, doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that your flesh is trying to dominate, where the Spirit is going to lead to a life of invigoration. I remember when I became a Christian, oh my goodness, you couldn't keep me out of church. One home group, another church, you know what I mean? Just as much as I could, and then we would be at home, and we would be with our Bibles open, and the best thing was when someone had an instrument, and you pulled out the instrument, and you just began to worship the Lord spontaneously. You guys did that for your birthday now. I mean, that's just incredible. That is what we're looking for in our life, is for the invigoration of the Spirit of God. And I told Jonathan the other day, Jonathan, you do this, you want to fit all this stuff in, but it's like you got two monsters inside of you. You have the Spirit of God and your spirit, and you have the flesh and the devil. And the one you feed is the one that's going to grow and swallow up the other. And he got it. It made sense to him. Because the more we feed the flesh, the more we will be swallowed up by it. It will swallow up our spiritual life. But if we yield and feed if we yield to the Spirit of God and feed our spirits, you will see invigoration coming up. And you will see energy. The very energy of God. Next, the Spirit gives us the ability to live and to be a witness. One of the greatest things that we get to be on earth is ambassadors of Jesus Christ. One of the most amazing things that we get to do is represent Jesus to people. And you know what? Sometimes, have you ever had a conversation where you just feel like heaven opens? And you read your Bible, it's like, I don't understand this thing, I don't understand that thing, I don't understand that thing. I just read 3 hours and I got nothing out of it. And then you find yourself sharing the Bible with somebody, and all those things you thought you had gotten nothing out of, all of a sudden they begin to flow through you to them. And you're just like, wow. It is one of the most exhilarating experiences in the world when you see God using you to speak to that person and represent himself to that person. On the road to Emmaus, the disciples were hopeless. Peter denied the Lord. I have no idea who he is. And yet, when he was filled with the Spirit, all of a sudden, it's like, this Jesus whom you crucified. And he had this ability to share, this ability to communicate. To communicate what? To communicate Jesus to people. And sometimes we might think to ourselves, I am a Christian, but I cannot help anyone. I don't seem to know very much. Or maybe I just get paralyzed inside. And you know what? Some of the humblest Christians, when they were shivering and trembling and full of fear, were able to share the gospel with someone else. And the power of God impacted that person. Next, the Spirit leads to prayer and gives ability to pray. The Spirit always leads us to prayer and he gives ability in prayer. You can see that in Romans chapter 8 where it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Spirit of God will work in us, and he will cause us to long for God, to groan for God. Even sometimes we might not even know what the problem is. We might not even be aware of a problem, and our hearts are just heavy, and we are just like, Lord, I just don't know why I'm feeling like this. Lord, help. Lord, assist. And next thing you know, something gets revealed that you realize there was a bigger problem, and the whole time you have been praying for it because the Spirit of God had been working in you. Have you ever felt a problem so big that all you can do is groan? I don't like my prayers when I'm instructing God. You ever done instructions to God? I mean, he who knows everything. And you tell God, look, God, this is the problem. If you would just do it like this, and then like this, and then like that, and that like that, the problem will be solved. And then it's like dominoes. It goes exactly the other. Everything just falls apart. And you're like, what? Nothing went like that. And then you look back in life and you realize it was worked out perfectly. You know, to truly pray is to just simply, by the Spirit of God, go to our daddy and say, Abba, Father. And when we do not know what to do, we say, Lord, I trust you with all my heart. And I lean not in my own understanding. In every way, I'm going to acknowledge you. And you, although I don't understand it, you will make my path straight. The groaning, the prayer. Do you experience this? Do we pray? Do we pray with when we're with people? I know some of you guys must be shy. I know there's. I have a friend, and we would go for a walk once a week together, and I would just pray. And then he never prayed. And then one day I looked at him and was like, "Will you pray today?" And he goes, "I think so, but how?" I said, "Well, go to him as a father. Sometimes we go to him as a father. Sometimes we go to him as a king. Sometimes we go to him as, I don't know, as a friend. But you just have a relationship." And that day, he prayed. And it was just wonderful to see the joy, the connection. He was shy, he was timid, but the Holy Spirit was prompting him, working in him to pray. Guys, prayer is one of the most wonderful things. It's the interchange between us and God. And sometimes words are not even needed. It's the fellowship of His Spirit with us. I know you know the story, but some of you don't. But it is true. Sometimes sitting in silence with God is precious. Loretta and I's first date was in a tandoori restaurant in Twickenham, London. And I was excited. She was excited. But when I get excited and nervous, I just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. I guess I'm nervous all the time in this pulpit. But I just talked and talked. And then Loretta goes, "You know, friends don't have to talk to be together. They don't always have to talk." And now she's like, "Why don't you talk more?" I was like, "I took your advice." No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is that, you know, sometimes just being with someone, you know, the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray, to be, to enjoy Him. He gives us boldness, confidence. Peter had natural courage. And some of us have not natural courage. We'll go do great exploits, but the Spirit of God will encourage us to be bold and confident. Not in our courage, but beyond our courage, when our courage fails. Peter said, "Though everybody deny you, I will never deny you." And then he went away, wept bitterly. And when the Spirit filled him, he says to the people as they told him, "Quit speaking in the name of Jesus." And Peter just looks at them and says, "What? Judge for yourselves. What am I supposed to do? Listen to you or God?" I don't think he was upset. I don't think he was angry. I think he would have loved to yield. But he says, "What am I supposed to do?" But he received a confidence in his relationship with the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you quenching the Spirit? To the Ephesians, Paul wrote, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe." Paul prayed, and Paul says, "Oh man, I'm praying that the Spirit of God would give illumination to you." And you know what? That comes. The Lord is going to lead us into a life of knowing God, knowing the Word of God. A longing to be fed. Are you hungry? Is there a sense of saying, "Lord, I want to know you," because the Spirit of God is going to lead you into that. Now, of course, the flesh will be content with just entertainment. And although entertainment is good, And okay, not if it keeps you from the truth, from knowing God. He gives light. He gives understanding. Satan causes you to be satisfied with where you're at. You're in a great place. Instead of having the mentality of a man filled with the Spirit of God like the Apostle Paul was, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching to what is ahead. And 20 years after he became a Christian, he goes, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And there's an enthusiasm, there's an energy, there's a crying out to know him better. Now I understand that we might feel a tension here. Part of you is like sometimes just gravitates. But what I'm trying to do is, I understand that's there. But what I'm trying to do is, do you see that the Holy Spirit is there saying, give me more room. Give me more space. Give me more of your life. Another test is that it brings warmth to our life. Not just the coldness, cold Christian, prideful, self-righteous, stubborn, but rather a warmth, a love to God and a love to people. Not artificial, not an appearance of warmth, not cold knowledge, but actually attached knowledge of us walking in the Spirit of God, being warmed by him. A love, an affection. To Jesus. And you know the difference. You know the difference well. You have a friend in school, or you have a friend at work, or you have a friend in the neighborhood, and they see you and they're like, oh my goodness. And the next time they see you, there's a coldness. And you feel it in an instance. The Holy Spirit brings that warmth. You're delighted. At the name of Jesus. If you have time today, watch the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or read the book where it says this, at the name of Aslan, everybody felt a little bit different. Suddenly one felt a little bit stronger. The other one felt braver. The other felt love. And Aslan obviously is a picture of Jesus, but the Holy Spirit brings a warmth at the name of Jesus. He brings an assurance that we're Christians, that he knows our sins are forgiven. He brings us to a confidence. Well, we know that our sins are forgiven. It's not we see our shortcomings, but we see that in spite of our shortcomings, God loves us. I think the worst thing that can happen to a believer is to mess up and then allow the devil to condemn them and get them down. There was a young girl that I know that I'm not for these purity rings, but she had a purity ring, and she put it on, and she's like, I'm going to wait. I am married to God until my husband comes, and I'm going to wait for him. And I agree with waiting for your... I think one of the most amazing things must be when two people grow up, and I know people like this, and they've committed themselves to just wait until the one person comes. I know people that got married, they met when they were 15, and they've been married over 70 years. Never known anybody else. I think the Queen of England just now has been amazing as well. But this particular girl, getting back to the point, she made this great promise. So she found herself in church, she met a guy, and she kissed the guy. And she thought, I blew it. I sinned against God. It's over now. So she goes, I might as well go all the way. And think about it. Sometimes we might feel we failed God. And because of our lack of confidence to realize that God has forgiven our every sin, what we do is we allow the devil to lead us into condemnation, which leads us into the path which I might as well just go with the flow. You see what I mean? And it becomes a snowball effect. Something that was small becomes huge. Bless you. Huge. And what we need to know is that if we fail, and today, I mean, of course, when I mention these things, I have no doubt, and I can feel a little bit of the tension in the room to a degree where you can almost feel like somebody's saying, but I'm not living to that. But that's the point. You confess it, and you say, Lord, I'm not living to that. Will you please take my life? I want to yield to your Spirit. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be full of your Spirit. The Christian also knows that he is a child of God and that he's a special object of God's care, and in turn, he loves God, or she loves God. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, leads us to a place where we know that we can cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. No matter what anxieties, that we're able to say, Lord, go. And he leads us. He leads us. Come to me. Come to me who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this in turn leads to gratitude. And the Holy Spirit makes us into grateful people. People that are appreciative of what he has done, and people that are appreciative of what people have done. You know, there's a cancer in our society at the moment. I'm not a great dissector of things, but this one I know. Entitlement. This sense that the world owes us something. And it manifests itself like this, when we are upset with people because of what they didn't do for us. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And my dad didn't do this. And my mom didn't do that. And my friend didn't do that. And he didn't greet me. And he didn't that. And he didn't give me. And it's just like, Me. Where the Bible says not to let me reign in my body, but to let the Spirit of God reign in my life. Relationships are broken. You know why they're broken? Because people will not yield to the Holy Spirit. We become bitter one against the other simply because the Holy Spirit is saying to us, love each other fervently, forgive each other, help each other, assist each other. And in our hearts, we say, no, 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 no. And what happens is we become stubborn, and oppress and That's why Paul says, do not quench. It's just like a dam. And there's all this ready to flow through us. But we are like, is it Gammon and Lord of the Rings? My precious. And we don't realize that the very cry for me is taking us out. It's taking us out. In our attitudes can become stubborn, self-righteous, and listen to this one, to become unteachable. And it's crazy to me that God, who is impassible, omnipotent, that he would allow us to quench his work in our life. Does that make sense? He could make us into a robot immediately. And yet, he has given us the key. He has given us the key to say, Lord, have your way in my life. I want to be a person that is alive in your spirit, invigorated in your spirit, educated in your spirit, bold in your spirit, being a witness in your spirit, thankful in your spirit, knowing that you care for me in your spirit, knowing that I'm forgiven in your spirit. And instead, we with our attitude, I'm telling you, the attitude, we can stop that wonderful work of God. There's that saying, attitude is everything. I really believe that. And I want to read you this guy's testimony. This guy's Theodore Monod. Can't pronounce that stuff. It sounds like a French name. And French is one of the languages that I just can't pronounce. But he says this. Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said, to Jesus. So he says, oh my God, the sorrow of my heart when I once proudly used to say, none of thee, Jesus, and all of me. A couple years go by, the Spirit working in his life. It says, yet he found me, and I saw him bleeding on the accursed tree. And my sinful heart. And our hearts are like that. They're prone to go away. My sinful heart said faintly. And this is amazing because he doesn't want a big yes. He doesn't want a big commitment from you. He wants a little change of attitude to say, yes, Lord. And he's able to strengthen that little yes in your heart. The problem is when you don't give him that little yes. But he gave him the little yes faintly. And he said, some of self. And some of you, and some of thee. And then the years go by. And he says, day by day, his tender mercy, healing and helping, full and free. So day by day, the Holy Spirit just prompting him and dealing with him brought me lower while I whispered, okay, less of me and more of thee. Then as he began to take over and higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, your love at last has conquered me. And I said, all of thee and none of me. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Today we do baptism. And I realize, look, this is a process that happens in our life. Nevertheless, it's a direction that we're heading in. It's a process, but it's a solid fixed point that we're heading towards. And you're either heading towards that with your attitude or you're heading against that. And baptism simply signifies we are buried to the world, to the devil, and to ourselves. And we are yielded to the Father, to the Son, and to the Spirit. And we say, Lord, what do you want from me? I'll ask you the question again. What will your life matter 100 years from now? What will my life matter? And I want to give you guys an invitation. We're going to pray together. D.L. Moody, as a young guy in New York City, he says, I was crying all the time that God would fill me with his Spirit. Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. Paul had an experience of which he never spoke for 14 years. I can only say that God revealed himself to me. And I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I had to tell him, please stop. I can't handle it anymore. I went to preaching again. The sermons were no different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience, if you should give me all the world. It would be as a small dust in the balance. I believe we can experience this. I believe that right here today, I believe that on our knees in a closet, I believe on a walk, that we can say, Lord, yes, I want to go for the ride, and I want to be a person that is yielded and filled and empowered by your Spirit. Give me your Spirit, lest I die. Ninety-9% of the problems that I have in my life are me. You know what I mean? It's like, it's me, my attitude. I've always regretted yielded to my flesh. I have never once in my life regretted yielding to the Spirit of God. And my prayer is, if we put our heads down, that today you would realize that you can't make it happen, but you can give him the key of your heart with a little whisper that says, yes, Lord. That you can give him with the cry of your heart to say, Lord, I want more of you. And that we would make our lives not of pushing and sweating, but that our lives would be one of enjoying you and being led by you. Father, I pray that the rebellious hearts in this room and and the yielded heart, and the hurt, and the faint heart in these rooms, and the condemned hearts in this room. That none of us will leave here the same today. That we would leave here today with a sense of you dwelling in us and you wanting to empower us and you leading us. That we will be people that enjoy the joy, the peace, the love, the patience of your Holy Spirit. Maybe today is a day. Your heart is all over the place. Maybe today is the day to just say, Lord, I don't really want it, but Lord, I give you my heart. Why don't you, we give it 15, 20 seconds for you to do business with him. Pray to him. Lord, have your way. I realize our hearts sometimes are just all over the place. But thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. And you're leading us, transforming us, shaping us. Warming our hearts to you, enlightening our hearts of who you are. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
hands rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are
mine. Capture my heart, I surrender my will, focus my mind till I'm yielded and still, hearing your voice to answer your call, carried away till I can't speak. Carry me away.